your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast, September 16th, 2020. Your boy Q here with you. As always, you can find me on Twitter, as many of you do, at your boy Q254. And anytime you have anything that's on your mind and you want to speak on it, you can. Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line is always wide open like some old school TV antennas, 707-654-4693. Got to give a big shout out to a couple of great sponsors that are bringing you the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday. And the first one is Sahara Las Vegas, that place that will make your football getaway great. And especially with the New Orleans Saints coming to town on Monday, maybe Sahara Las Vegas is the place for you this upcoming weekend. I'll tell you all about that coming up a little bit later in the show. And also is being brought to you by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Coming up on today's show, in segment number three, I didn't get to get to any calls or text on Tuesday's show because I had to smoke Trent Brown, right tackle Trent Brown. I had to give him the business, so I'm going to catch up or try to catch up on some calls and texts and even a couple tweets really backed up right now on the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line just because I missed the day with getting to some, but I'm going to try my very best to get to as many as possible. So coming up in segment number three, you'll hear the thoughts of Raider Nation from the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Again, the number 707-654-4693. That's coming up in segment number three. In segment number two, big news out of New Orleans that has to do with the game on Monday with the Saints, and that is Michael Thomas is looking like he's going to be out not only for the game on Monday, but out for multiple weeks. And of course, the only thing that really matters is how that affects the Raiders on Monday. Don't like to ever see guys out and injured because the NFL and football is a very tough sport, and guys are just one play away, and you could be out quick, fast, and in a hurry. But Michael Thomas looks like he's going to be out on Monday, so we'll talk all about that in segment number two. And how that changes the game, as that is a game changer. How that changes the game for the Raiders, that's all coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I'll give you the news and the notes of the day. Off top, I told you on Tuesday's show about the Raiders defensive back Nevin Lawson being added to the club's 53-man roster. They actually made that official later on Tuesday, and I also said that they had to waive somebody to make a move and make a spot on the roster, and so the Raiders waived safety Dallin Leavitt. He was waived. He was a guy that really gets a lot of special teams action, so they moved on from him to make that space available for defensive back Nevin Lawson. He played in 11 games and made 5 starts with the Raiders in 2019, had 23 tackles and 5 passes defense. So Nevin Lawson, a guy who's really kind of a Swiss Army knife, a very versatile guy. John Gruden has talked him up many times. He's back with the Raiders, and Dallin Leavitt is now waived by the Raiders to make room for him. A lot of folks have been hitting me up asking me about injury updates. What's going on with Henry Ruggs? Well, as of right now, there is no update on Henry Ruggs. Now, depending on what time you're listening to this today, there could be the injury report already come out, but as of early Wednesday morning, it has not came out. I asked Vinny Bonsignor on Tuesday as we were changing shows, as Silver and Black Today was coming off on Raider Nation Radio, preparing for Lincoln Kennedy and Vinny on Inside the Huddle, and he said there's no update, and hopefully sometime today he'd be able to find out and they'd release an injury report and see if Henry Ruggs is on it. He said he did ask him after the game though on Sunday how he felt, and he said he felt fine. He said he was good to go. He said that in the media session. So again, you got to wait for the official report to come out, but everything sounds pretty good so far for Henry Ruggs III. Also want to give a Trent Brown update, and man, did his name catch fire. I'll tell you right now, I know I smoked him on Tuesday, but that was based off of, you know, just kind of my gut feeling and what I had heard and what I was picking up on, and so I just kind of roll with it. But man, his name was on fire. I mean, he was like a trending topic on Twitter on Tuesday. Wanted to give an update. Ian Rappaport, he actually put out a tweet saying more good news on the injury front for the Raiders. Offensive tackle Trent Brown, who left Sunday's win early because of his calf, is not believed to have suffered a serious injury. Usually being ruled out is bad news, but not in this case. He actually has a chance to play this week. And so that is a big deal. That is really good news for Trent Brown. I've said it before, even though I smoked him on Tuesday's show, I mean, when he's out there, I believe he's a better player. I mean, I believe that the Raiders are a better offensive line and better team when he's out there contributing. Now, there are some stats out there that says he's not the better player and the team is not a better team when he's out there. But all in all, I really do believe that with Trent Brown out there, he is a big dude. He's going to be needed this week. Cameron Jordan's coming to town. I think it's a big deal. So if he can get out there and put in work, cool. But, you know, gut feeling is you just don't know, because you don't know where his mindset is at right now. Clearly, the team is concerned about him. Clearly, the team doesn't know where his heart is. And let me put out this this little piece of news, a kind of little nugget, I like to say. Josh DeBoe from the AP, and you know he only puts out negative stuff about the Raiders. Sometimes it's comical. I laugh, and some people say, why do you laugh? It's just kind of comical, because it's like he goes and looks for the most negative information he can find and puts it out there. But he put out a tweet saying, Trent Brown has played 10-plus snaps in only 10 of the 17 games for the Raiders since signing a four-year, $66 million contract. He missed five entirely and left with injuries in two others. Raiders have averaged 18.2 points per game in the 10 games he played extensive time and 23.6 in the games he has mostly missed. So that was the stats that I was saying are out there that are saying that the Raiders are actually a better team without him. Again, I don't think I believe that, but just interesting that little stat and that little information right there provided by Josh DeBoe from the AP. Also on the injury front, Nick Kwiatkowski, middle linebacker, the general of the defense, according to Vinny Bonsignor, he said there's a chance that maybe he could play, and he said he could play, maybe he could play on Sunday, but the good thing is the Raiders don't play till Monday, so maybe he's going to be able to play. He's going to obviously try to give it a go. He wanted to get back into the game on Sunday. The Raiders just wouldn't let him do it. We will see. You know, my gut feeling, which is what I roll with all the time, is that he's not going to play on Sunday, but you never know. At least you know he's got the want to get out there and help out his brothers, because he's going to be needed in a major way. The Saints have a lot of weapons coming to town, even though Michael Thomas is not going to be there. It looks like he's not going to be playing. They still have plenty of weapons that we'll talk about coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. But yeah, Nick Kwiatkowski, no update on his pec injury as of the severity of it and as of when he could play or when he could rehab and get back out there. So that's really all I got for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Of course, one of the big pieces of news that came out on Tuesday about Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. We'll talk about that coming up in segment number two, but it definitely looks like he's going to be out for the game on Monday. But like I said, we'll get into a much bigger conversation about that, what that means for the game and how that is a game changer for the game coming up on Monday. Saints Raiders Allegiant Stadium, open up the stadium. First home game in the history of the Las Vegas Raiders. But we'll talk all about that coming up in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before we get into that, though, I got to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, one of the title sponsors, and that is NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every single snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. If you were watching that Monday night game between the Titans and the Broncos, you just want to see what was going on with the AFC West, probably a game you should have watched on NFL Game Pass. Probably a game you'd rather just watch in 45 minutes instead of watch the whole thing. That was just about a snooze fest, right? You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, missed field goals, missed extra points, all that good stuff. Every breakout star from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can ever handle, and it's all in one place. NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll learn from the league's best players. Over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. You can go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. How about Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, three of the really, really stinking good players across the league, superstars in the league, and many, many more. They will be there. It provides you access to entire NFL films archive. What you got to do is go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, September 16th, 2020. And always, your boy Q here with you, as I always am, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. And of course, the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line is 707-654-4693. I'm sure I'll get some calls about this next topic, and that's the upcoming game on Monday with the New Orleans Saints coming to town. On tomorrow's show, I'll be talking to Ross Jackson as we do Crossover Thursday each and every week, whoever the Raiders are taking on. one. That's who I'll be talking to on Thursdays to give a preview for the game. And I'm sure that this is going to be a subject that we cover in a major, major way. And this is what happened. Matter of fact, I was on Silver and Black today on Tuesday on Raider Nation Radio 920. And right before the show was over, I mean, it was really awesome how the timing went. It was just right before the show was over. The word came down from Tom Pelissero and also Ian Rappaport from NFL Network that Saints star wide receiver Michael Thomas' high ankle injury is worse than originally believed, and he's now expected to miss several weeks. And it says, sources tell me and Rap Sheet. Again, that was from Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport. It says, Thomas is tough as they come and surely will try to defy that timeline, but it'll be a battle. So it didn't rule him out 100% at all. It didn't rule him out at all, matter of fact. But it just kind of gave you that feeling that, you know what, there's no way. If he's going to miss several weeks, probably no way he's going to be available to play on Monday. Now, anything could happen. It's still early in the week. It's only Wednesday, so he has plenty of time. He might be able to get out there and fight through it because, like the tweet said, he is as tough as they come. But if you just go off the belief that he's not going to play, you have to wonder, how is this a game-changing moment for the Raiders? You know, and look, but when the season started, when I looked at the schedule, went up and down it, I said I felt like the window for the Raiders' wins are anywhere from about 9-7 being the floor to 11-5 being the ceiling. And I said, the only way they get to 11-5 is if they have a couple balls bounce their way, if they get a couple, you know, good things to go in their favor, you know, kind of almost like a lucky bounce. And I'm not going to say that an injury is ever a lucky bounce because you hate to see NFL players injured. And look, the Saints still have plenty of weapons on their team. But this could be kind of like one of those turnovers late in the game where it gives you an opportunity. Maybe the game is close, and because he's not out there, it's just giving the Raiders a little bit better of a chance, a little bit better of an opportunity to maybe pull one out at the end. Now, look, let's make no mistake about it. The Saints, like I mentioned, have plenty of weapons. Jared Cook, does that name ring a bell? Remember when he was playing with the Raiders and he was one of Derek Carr's go-to guys? Yeah, he's out there and he's still a go-to guy for Drew Brees. Oh, by the way, Drew Brees is going into the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, that's a weapon right there. Jared Cook's a weapon. Emmanuel Sanders, they just signed him in the offseason. Alvin Kamara just signed him to a big deal. And I know he didn't really rush for a lot of yards in week one, but he still caught the ball really well and did some good things, still got into the end zone. Kamara's always going to be a weapon. Taysom Hill, he's kind of that, you know, that joker. Like John Gruden would call him the joker, where he kind of does a little bit of everything. He's going to go out there and do something. He might be receiving. He might be throwing. He might be on special teams. He might be a running back. I mean, Taysom Hill is going to be a weapon that Sean Payton is going to use early, and he's going to use them often. So there's still plenty of dudes out there, but Michael Thomas, make no mistake about it, is target number one. He's wide receiver number one, and he's going to be missed. And that might give the Raiders an opportunity. It might give them a little bit better of a puncher's chance. Earlier this week, I said that I didn't think that the Raiders were ready to win this game just because, well, the defense isn't really ready to make those kind of stops. But now that, you know, you figure Michael Thomas is going to be out, now you kind of look at the defense and say, all right, how does everything match up? And if I'm Paul Gunther, if I'm the Raiders and I'm looking at who I'm matching up with who, I got Corey Littleton on Jared Cook all day long. I might have to bring in Amik Robertson, and I know he's young. I might have to bring him in and have him kind of spy Alvin Kamara or Taysom Hill or one of those cats. And look, I know that there's still other guys, including Emmanuel Sanders, who could be out there, but I think Paul Gunther is going to have to really get creative on defense, but just having that one weapon down may give the Raiders, like I said, a puncher's chance. And sometimes that is all you need in a game. If they could keep it close, make it similar to what they did with against the Carolina Panthers, it could be a game that they pull out at the end. I'll tell you right now, after hearing the news about Michael Thomas, I felt a lot better about the game. And again, I'm not trying to be ugly about injuries because that is terrible. You don't want any guy injured in the league. I'm just saying, knowing that one major player is most likely out for the game, I just feel like, you know what, it kind of evens the playing field a little bit more. I feel like the Raiders have a really good offense and can score when they need to. You see how many points they put up against Carolina. The one X factor in this game, and you'll hear Ross Jackson talk about it much more on tomorrow's show. He's the host of Locked On Saints. They have a really good defense. They have a really good defense. You see, they were able to get a pick six. Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins, he's a really good defensive back. Obviously, they got Marshawn Lattimore. They got him the same year that the Raiders went and got Gerrion Conley. Clearly, they got the better defensive back. They got dogs on the defensive line. Malcolm Jenkins at the back end. I mean, they've got a defense. And Oh, by the way, it's led by former Raider head coach Dennis Allen. So it's always nice to get an opportunity to play against him and try to beat him, just because obviously he left a bad taste in the mouth of most Raider fans. But I will say, if you're looking at this, and I don't look at the numbers, and I haven't looked at the numbers, like the betting lines and stuff, I'm not one of those guys that are basing anything off of that. I think the Saints were favored. I think someone told me they're favored by like 6.5 points before the Michael Thomas news. I'd be interested in knowing how much that changes over the course of the week. As it gets closer to game time, and as it gets more official that Michael Thomas is not going to be out there, I pretty much guarantee that it's going to change and go down to probably like 3 or 4 points. Maybe 3. I think it could go down to 3. I think that Michael Thomas is that much of a game changer. And again, look, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, and that could just be the moment that the Raiders needed to be able to kind of elevate themselves over the top. You know, you don't know what's going on with Nick Kukowski. He's a guy that he might miss the game, and he's obviously a really good linebacker. This may be a game Raekwon McMillan is asked to step up and play a lot. You know, he might be a guy that the Raiders can say, you know what, they got to go and attack the Saints running game with Taysom Hill, Latavius Murray, another guy that Raider Nation is very familiar with, and of course Alvin Kamara. You're going to need that sure tackling, just like you saw from Jonathan Abram on Sunday against Christian McCaffrey, where he was coming downhill and he was making big plays. You're going to need sure tackling like that. You don't want to have these guys missing tackles. If they shake out of the first tackle or the second tackle, they could be in trouble, because all these guys are big plays waiting to happen. And I think that Jared Cook is really licking his chops, knowing that Michael Thomas is out there, knowing that he could all of a sudden end up being basically the go-to guy, you know, and really the X factor. I was on Cofield and Company Tuesday afternoon, right after the news broke, right after I got off Silver and Black Today, and Cofield and Company is on ESPN Las Vegas. I was there, and they asked me, they said, well, who do you think could be the X factor now and really step up for the Saints? And the first guy I mentioned was Jared Cook. It's like, you know what? That's the dude. That's the guy. And if you remember, man, when the Raiders really didn't have too many weapons, Jared Cook was the guy. I mean, Derek Carr went to him early. He went to him often. He was feeding that guy, and he was out there performing. Jared Cook is no punk. He can make it happen. He can catch the ball and give you that good yak yards, and he's a big, strong dude. He's hard to bring down, and I know that the Raiders have Darren Waller now, and that's great. He's a younger version, a little thinner, a little faster than Jared Cook, but, man, Jared Cook is – that's a load. That's a lot to bring down, and he's got a little nasty streak to him as well. So, again, he's going to be a problem. Emmanuel Sanders – He's nothing to shake a stick at. He's going to be a problem. And, of course, Sean Payton, the head coach, he dials it up, man. He really makes it happen. So there's still, you know, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, man, the Raiders are going to go win this game now. But I'll tell you right now, I feel a lot better than with their chances. I think that they actually have, and I won't say an ace in the hole because, that doesn't sound right, but I think that they just kind of have had a ball bounce their way. You know, I think that they created a turnover late in the game, and now they got an opportunity with Michael Thomas being out. I just kind of feel like if he had been in the game with all the other weapons I mentioned, that it probably would have just been too much. You know, I mean, they would have been able to dial up any of those guys at any time. And look, they still might. They still might. You know, I just kind of feel like it may give them a little bit of confidence, that young secondary. You know, Trayvon Mullen, he might be able to match up with Emmanuel Sanders. Like I said, this might be a game where Corey Littleton really shows how much he's worth. He did a good job against the Panthers, but probably going to be leaned on a little bit more. I think that he needs to stay in Jared Cook's hip pocket all game long. Maybe this is a game that Corey Littleton could come up with a turnover or two to set the Raiders up in good field position. You know, there was a couple times in the game on Sunday that the Raiders defense really stepped up and made some plays. I mean, the fourth down play is what everyone remembers, but a couple possessions that were huge, in my opinion, were to start the third quarter, you know, to have a couple three and outs against the Panthers and set the Raiders up with good field position. Hunter Renfro did well in the kick return game, or the punt return game, and so that set the Raiders up with good field position. They were able to score some points off that, 10 points in the third quarter. They're going to need that kind of performance from the defense. Is going to be able to, they're going to have to keep them out of the end zone and make them settle for field goals a couple times if they want to win this game. But I'll tell you right now, man, Michael Thomas being out, if he is in fact out, that is an absolute game changer. That is nothing to shake a stick at. Now, who knows what's going to happen with Trent Brown? Who knows what's going to happen with Nick Kukowski? You assume that Henry Ruggs is going to be ready to go for the Raiders, but again, a lot of guys got banged up. A lot of guys got injured for the Raiders on Sunday. So you'll have to check out their bill of health as well. But that is an absolute, make no mistake about it, game-changing moment, having Michael Thomas, number one wide receiver, almost the number one wide receiver in the league. Very many people could argue and say he is the number one wide receiver in the league. Him being out for a game on Monday against the Raiders is an absolute big deal. So what are your thoughts? What's on your mind? We'll find out coming up in segment number three. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about a couple great sponsors here on the Locked On Raider podcast, and one, rockauto.com, one of my favorites to tell you about. Rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for all auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they got everything. Engine control parts, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, whatever your car needs, they got it. You need carpet? They got you covered. Whether it's a classic, a daily driver, you know, something that you're trying to, a project that you're working on, it doesn't matter. Just in a few easy clicks, you can get the parts you need delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com, the catalog is unique and super easy to navigate. If I can figure it out, you can figure it out. Again, you can see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and most importantly, the prices you prefer. That's right. The prices at rockauto.com are super, super low. The same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You don't have to. Just go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. While you're there, I just ask you to put in the little box that says, how'd you hear about us? Just write Locked On Raiders podcast sent me. They'll know I did my job. Amazing selection, super low prices. All the parts your car will ever need is at rockauto.com. I also need to tell you about Sahara Las Vegas, because there's never been a better time to get away to Vegas. And you can't let this season go by, or hell, you shouldn't even let this weekend go by without being a part of history. The best place to stay in Vegas and show your fandom is at Sahara Las Vegas. Sahara has it all, with the best places to watch the games, awesome drink specials, a sports book to place your bets, and exciting casino action with slots, table games, and all new poker room. You want to go do that? Poker is your game? They got you covered. There's also plenty of restaurants and bars to choose from. So get locked in for the season and get your exclusive Locked On Raider podcast deal. Stay at Sahara and get 15% off your hotel stay and daily food and beverage credit. Book now at SaharaLasVegas.com/VegasNation and use the promo code. It's either Fans or Locked, one of the two. I'm not 100% sure. Again, SaharaLasVegas.com/VegasNation, code Fans or Locked. I got to definitely check on that so I can give you the proper information. But you want to stay at the best place to watch and enjoy the games? It's got to be Sahara Las Vegas. Segment number three is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It's time for you to shine. Your calls, your texts, even a couple tweets straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693 is the number. First up is a tweet from @HulkRaider85. Hey, Q. Hold on. Before I do that, gotta sound the alarm. Even by way of Twitter, you're still a new booty. This is coming from @HulkRaider85. Hey, Q, I never get a chance to call in. I usually just catch your podcast when they're posted, but just wanted to get something out there. Now, I love my nation family, but I think they're being a little hard on the defense. Everyone's just looking at the surface. I don't think that they're thinking about what the game plan was. I don't think that the goal was to rack up sacks. I think the whole goal of the defensive game plan this week was to stop McCaffrey. And if you look at it, the way they did, pretty good job. He didn't even break 100 yards rushing, and not even close to the passing yards he normally gets either. He's known for running all over teams, even good teams. And also, for as much as they talk about the Panthers' D-line, they didn't get a sack either. I just think the nation needs to step back and try to see what the game plan was before we start talking about cutting and replacing people. It was the first game of a really weird year, so let's take a step back and not jump to conclusions. Thanks, Q. Again, @HulkRaider85 delivered that one. And I'll say, I think every week the game plan is to get to the quarterback and get a couple sacks. Teddy Bridgewater had way too much time. That's one thing I'll say. Mo Hurst came up with a sack, but you've got to get more pressure from Malik Collins up the middle. You've got to get more pressure from Jonathan Hankins up the middle. You got to get that pressure up the gut in the pocket. When quarterbacks have an opportunity to step up, that's when they're most dangerous. And you saw Teddy Bridgewater take off. So, yeah, I agree. The game plan was to slow down McCaffrey. I kind of feel like him and Josh Jacobs really balanced each other out, except for Josh Jacobs had 3 touchdowns and McCaffrey did not. You know, but basically, if you look at their yardage, it was all the same. You know, just about the same yardage rushing, just about the same yardage receiving. They were very similar to each other. So I think they balanced each other out, but the pass rush has got to get there. If the pass rush doesn't get a little bit better, or actually a lot better than what you saw on Sunday, they're not going to have a chance no matter who's out there for the Saints. They're not going to have a chance against Drew Brees. He will pick them apart if they don't get some pressure. So I think that is an area of concern. The rest of the defense, I agree with you 100%. We've been saying, I know I said it on the podcast many times, the defense is going to be a work in progress. The offense is going to have to do the heavy lifting, at least early on, until they have an opportunity to catch up to speed. So that's something I agree with. I also said on Monday's podcast, you can score 34 points against any NFL team. You're giving yourself a chance to win. I'll take 34 points any day. I think they're going to need a nice offensive showing on Monday against the Saints as well. But they do have an opportunity. That's for sure. That's what I can say. So Hulk Raider 85, thank you so much for that tweet. I appreciate you. Welcome to the Locked On Raider podcast family. Hopefully we hear from you some more. And now I got a call from my guy, Raider Con Man in Lubbock, Texas, calling in to talk about Trent Brown, his overall feelings on him, and pointing out a couple things that caught his attention. Here he is, Raider Con Man out of Lubbock, Texas.
What up, Q? Raider Con Man here. So I've been thinking, this has kind of been in my head for a while now, and I just want to get your thoughts on it and Raider Nation's thoughts on it as well, about Trent Brown. I know he's been injured, but I'm getting a feeling of kind of a disconnect from the team. I don't know if this is true. I mean, I know he's kind of does his own thing. He's always speaks his mind. I mean, you follow him on social media, you always see everything. But I don't know. I feel a disconnect. I mean, it kind of started last season, missing a lot of games, and just he's not really too into it. I mean, I'm sure he is, but then when I heard him on a podcast over the off season, when he was talking about Tom Brady, they asked him about him, and he was kind of like, yeah, I thought we would go after him for sure, talking about the Raiders, talking about Gruden and Mayock going after Brady, and I was like, wait a second. I mean, that's not a big deal, but then it just keeps adding on to things, and then you saw before the Panthers game, everyone was locked arms and doing all that, but he was standing behind everyone, which he can take his own stance, whatever. I don't know the reason for that, but that's fine. But it just seems a little odd that he's kind of, I don't know, it seems like a disconnect. The biggest thing that came to me was when he said the stuff about Brady. That kind of, I was like, wait a second. That, I mean, I know he's got cars back and all that, and he's, but I don't know if you're getting that feeling of from him, but just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Love the show, Q. Ready to comment out.
It's always good to hear from you, man. Appreciate you. And I don't think you're wrong about your feelings. You know, one, I'll say Trent Brown's a different dude. You know, I don't want to just pile on him because really it seems like that's what's going on. I didn't smoke him on Tuesday because I thought it was a cool thing to do and everybody was doing it. It's just crazy. All of a sudden that became like everyone's subject on Tuesday. I just feel like the conversation, hearing John Gruden, his thoughts about Trent Brown and the frustration, hearing what Vinny Bonsignore had to say, hearing what Lincoln Kennedy had to say, you know, that kind of just really let me know what was going on or gave me a feeling that I wanted to roll with. But again, that man, Tuesday, it was like fire, man. Trent Brown's name was just on fire. His ears must have been burning because everybody was talking about him. But yeah, either way, man, as far as, you know, the Brady thing, I don't think that really bothers me too much. Josh Jacobs, he talked about Brady as well in the offseason. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Brady is a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a guy that's going to go into the Hall of Fame as soon as he wants to. So I don't think anyone could really get upset about that. But I will say, not locking arms and being in the back of the locker room while the rest of the team was celebrating, that was a red flag to me. Maybe he just didn't feel like he was part of the win, so that was why. He seems like an introvert type guy. I know multiple people have said he's an introvert, so maybe he's just not into that kind of thing. I don't know, but it just seems like there's a disconnect with him and the team, and my biggest concern is when the team is starting to feel like, you know, he's not part of the team. So that's really why I gave him the business on Tuesday's show. But thank you so much for that call. I appreciate you. We'll see what happens, you know. Is he going to play on Monday? We don't know. We'll find out as the week goes on. But like I said, thank you so much for your call. It's always good to hear from you. Next up is a text from Sean in the 661. What up, Q? This is Sean in the 661. Just wanted to point out the fact that as bad as our defense looked and we gave up a lot of points, we held the Panthers to 2-3 and outs to start the second half. They didn't score and had 10 points in the quarter. Show me where we did that last year. Shows improvement by the coaching staff, in my opinion. And then ultimately, the defense got the stop we needed and won the game. Secondly, remember when people said to Carr, no one would care if you just won? Now this man wins and plays solid, and Raider Twitter is still not happy. LOL. Offense looks fine and will improve. The key lies on the young defense and how quickly they can improve week over week. Just win, baby. That's from Sean in the 661. Yeah, man. Twitter, period, is never happy. That, I always call it a cesspool for a reason. There is always someone angry and always someone burning down something on Twitter. There's always somebody. And then, you know, what's funny is there's always the guys that are always super negative on Twitter, and then there's the one guys that are always like cutting for everybody and like, oh, you don't know the half the story, and you know, like they're the player's best friend or something like that. Saw a lot of that on Twitter as well. But either way, man, people use it for different things. I use it for information and trying to communicate the most respectful way possible. But I mean, it is what it is. Those defensive stops that you talked about in the third quarter, I thought those were big. Those were huge. That was some of the biggest keys to the game. You know, scoring 10 points in the third quarter and not allowing the Panthers the score in the third quarter was a big deal. Got the Raiders the ball and got them in good field position and set them up for something that they didn't have a lot of in 2019, which was third quarter scoring. So, yeah, that was a big deal, man. I'm glad you brought that up. Appreciate you. Next up, I got a call from my guy Rich City Raider from Richmond, California. And before I get into the call, got to sound the alarm one time. My guy Rich City Raider from Richmond, California is a new booty. He's calling in to talk about the game on Sunday, give a little bit of feedback, and trying to put things in perspective as well so Raider Nation doesn't get so negative and get so down on the performance that the boys had on Sunday. So here he is, Rich City Raider, calling out of Richmond, California. Stand up one time, my man.
What's up, Q? This is your own boy, Rich City Raider, calling in from Richmond, California. Just wanted to say, man, I've been a big fan of the show for over 1.5 years now. And yes, I am a new Buddha. So my first overall thing I want to call in for is regarding all the negativity in Raider Nation right now. Come on, y'all. Show some boys some love. They played a hard game under difficult circumstances, COVID, no training camp, all that. So you gotta show them some love. I mean, I've personally been watching Raiders football for over 24 years now, ever since I was 2 years old, and I gotta tell you, defense looked mighty different this on Sunday. And that fourth down told me a lot about where these guys' heads are at. And I wouldn't count them out just over one game. Sure, they made some mistakes. I acknowledge that. And they gave us a little heart dumping towards the end. But, hey, they came through. So all I've got to say is just keep watching as the season unfolds and keep showing them the love. And I bet you they'll play hard for us. Rich City Raider out.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. Welcome to the Locked On Raider podcast family. I appreciate you and your support. And yeah, those points you brought up, they're all very valid. I honestly think Raider Nation heard how exciting the offense was going to be with all this newfound speed. Henry Ruggs, got Edwards, all the hype coming out of training camp, and thought John Gruden was going to put up 50 points on the Panthers. And especially with Matt Rhule being a new head coach, a lot of new there in Carolina, just kind of thought that the Raiders were going to blow them out. So when they only win by 4, it's like, oh my God, what's going on? The sky's falling. But realize, you put up 34 points in an NFL game. That's a big deal. Then you flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. You know, we've talked all offseason, all training camp about the defense has got to be better. They went out and got a couple linebackers. They went out and got some guys in the draft. Damon Arnett, Amik Robertson. You know, Jonathan Abram is coming back. Max Crosby's coming off a 10-sack season. You know, they addressed the defensive line. They got Malik Collins. They got Rod Marinelli. I mean, there's so many different things that were added to the squad. Everyone really got their hopes up that they were going to see something come out the chutes and it was going to be amazing. They were going to shut this team out or, you know, shut them down and the defense was going to be great. It's like the expectations were too high. Sometimes that happens, but ultimately they give up 30 points, but come up with a big fourth down play. Did really well, in my opinion, in the third quarter, shutting out the Panthers and causing a couple 3-and-outs real quick, getting the ball back for the team. You know, you had no preseason. You had really no offseason. Training camp was limited. You know, there was a lot of things that were missing. And by the way, the biggest factor, winning games in the NFL is tough. It doesn't matter what team you are. It's always tough to win games in the NFL. You very rarely see just blowouts where the game doesn't get close at some point. So I think you have to realize all of that. And again, it was just week one, and there's still 15 games left to go. Good start, though. You can't get any better than 1-0 in week one. I mean, regardless, you know, week five, if the Raiders are, you know, going into Kansas City and they're 4-1 or 4-0 or whatever they are, they wouldn't be 4-1. But if they're like 4-0, ain't nobody going to say, well, you know, that first game against the Panthers, they didn't play very well. You know what I mean? Or they only put up 34 points, they gave up 30. They're not going to say that. They're going to say, well, the team is 4-0. Or even if they're 3-2. Or, hell, they're, you know, or not they were 3-2. They'd be like 2-2. Whatever. You get the point, right? Nobody's going to care later on down the season. It's just right now because you're a prisoner of the moment and people are thinking about it. It's like, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. So it is what it is. Still, they got a very challenging game coming up on Monday with the Saints coming to town. Michael Thomas being down, like I mentioned in segment number two, a big deal, real, real big deal, and could ultimately end up being a game changer. Got a few days, obviously, to think about it and see how everything shakes out, and maybe he plays. There's a chance that he plays. He hasn't been ruled completely out yet. We will just have to wait and see how it all shakes out. So that's all I got for you today on today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up on tomorrow's show, you'll hear from Ross Jackson, host of Locked On Saints. We'll have our crossover edition of the show. Talk all things Raiders, talk all things Saints. We'll break down the game. I'll ask Ross straight up, how big a deal is Michael Thomas, and where do the Saints go now that he looks like he's going to miss that game on Monday? You'll get that. You'll get some calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. And, of course, you'll get news and notes of the day. So that should be Thursday's show. We'll be back then. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, before I got to shout out Sahara Las Vegas, too. Want to shout them out one more time for being a great sponsor here at the Locked On Raiders podcast. But until next time, Raider Nation, till Thursday, stay safe, wash your hands, social distance, wear your mask, love on your family, take care of one another. And as always, most importantly, just win, baby.